The Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When my kids were growing up, we had a game called Who Am I? And I'm going to attempt to explain it. You had all these little doors that flipped up, and they had people's pictures on them. Some people had no hair, some had some hair, some beard and everything else. They had blondes, brunettes, redheads, things like that. And there's like 50 of them. You picked one of them, and the other person had to figure out who that one was. So you had to ask questions. Is your person blonde? Yes. Well, then you'd push, that was great. Then you just push down all the ones that were not blocked. Then you kept whittling it down until you got to one. Like you all understand what I'm talking about, right? But the name of the game is, who am I? Based on, quote, the evidence, who am I? That is what Jesus asked the disciples. Now, because of the Holy Spirit, we know who Jesus is, that he's our Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians 12:3 tells us, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's not by human wisdom that we know who Jesus is. It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit within us. If I had to title today's lesson, it would be, who am I? And we still ask that question today. We confess him in the Creed. We just went through the Apostles' Creed. It's a very good summary of his life and what he accomplished for us. We also confess that he is the rock, at least in this gospel lesson, we confess that he is the rock. Now, our lesson does not take place in Jerusalem. It takes place in Caesarea Philippi, which was in Gentile country and a Roman stronghold built by Herod. Herod, you know, oftentimes we think of Herod as the one who, this is not the Herod that when Jesus was born. This was the Herod that had Jesus crucified, if I got that right. Might be wrong, but it was a Herod. See what happens when you name all your kids the same thing? It's very confusing. But it was built by a Herod. That's all we need to know. And this is where Jesus asked the question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Maybe today we'd put it, so what's the word on the street? Who am I? Now, Jesus uses the term for himself, Son of Man, and that's got a lot of Old Testament rich imagery. But the disciples answer, John the Baptist, who had been beheaded not too long ago. It was John the Baptist come back to life. Some thought it was Elijah. Some thought Jeremiah. Some thought another prophet. Well, the word on the street at least had Jesus in some very good company, comparing him to some of the greats of the Old Testament. But Jesus wants to know what the disciples believe. That's where he says, what about you? Who do you say that I am? He wants them to believe that he is the Son of God without coming straight out and telling them. He wants them to, it appears the reason he doesn't just come out and say, I'm God, I'm the Messiah, I'm here, is that he wants the disciples and the people to look at the evidence and say, when it all is said and done, it comes down to only one person that he can be. Because when you figure it out yourself, you're more likely to believe. That's the only explanation that I found that made any real sense. But it's Peter. Peter who says, you know, we oftentimes talk about Peter, the one who says the stupid stuff. Peter has some of the great confessions of faith here. Probably the greatest one is when he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus used the term Son of Man. Peter ups it and says, no, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ. That's the Greek word. The Hebrew word is Messiah. And they both mean you are the anointed one. Peter is saying that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. Peter's confession is a result of God's grace in Peter. Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father who is in heaven. Today, how do people answer that question, who Jesus is? Well, some think he's a good teacher. Some think he was a very moral person. Jews today admit that he had taught, may have performed many miracles, but he's not the Messiah. He was a miracle worker, maybe a prophet of some sort. I've also heard Jesus described as one who's concerned about social issues and social justice. I actually heard this clown on TV, no, on the radio, say that Jesus came to start the social justice movement. See, that's why it's best I listen to the radio in the car not so much at home, because then I could jaw at the radio and say what I really thought about this person. So if you ever see me driving down the road and I'm talking to myself, I'm not talking on the phone, I really am talking to myself. But that's how people will describe Jesus. But Jesus is far more than just what public opinion says he is. He's the Son of God who provides salvation for everyone in the world. And we don't come to that conclusion based on human reason or human logic. I can prove to you by creation that there is a God. I can get you to come to that conclusion that there is a God, because there's no way everything's random. All right? If somebody's going to be rational, you can prove that there is a God who created it. What do you know about him beyond that he created the world? Nothing. Where you learn who Jesus is, well, we learn it through the scriptures. But it's the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to convince us that he is the Christ, the Son of God. 1 John chapter 5 says, he did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And so it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. It comes by water and blood, the water of baptism and the blood of Holy Communion. That's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit has to overcome several obstacles, because we're no longer born in the perfect image of God. We're born in the image of Adam. In other words, not only do we sin, sometimes we kind of like it. Now, if you tell me you don't enjoy certain sins, all right, it's not confession time for me, but there are certain sins I like. You know, I strive not to do them, but they're there. We all have them. All right, we're born hostile to God, but it's only by God's grace that we are his children. We're born enemies of God, but we're made children of God by baptism. Galatians 5:17 says, for the sinful human nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. We still have sin, and we still have a sinful human nature. But yet we still have this new person within us who's called a child of God. Luther refers to it that we are sinners and saints at the same time, and how true that is. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation is simply that. Salvation for a Christian is, or for anyone, is believing that Jesus is the Savior and died for our sins. There's not a list of a whole bunch of things I got to do. All right? Not like some denominations. And we'll pick on the Catholics for a moment. All right? They believe that Jesus died and that atoned for your original sin that you get from Adam. Then, during your life, you have to pay for all your sins. All right? Whether that's through good works, and if you don't pay for them all by the point where you die, and you usually can't, you go to purgatory where you suffer and then pay for them. So they combine salvation and works. It's not. It is just the simple fact that Jesus died for our sins. Now, we say those words, and he died for our sins, but we got a whole lifetime to live. So why go to church? If that all salvation is, you got to strengthen that faith, because Satan is constantly attacking. We have to grow in our faith so that our faith does not grow weak and crumble under the attacks of Satan. By the way, we have the Trinity in action in this text. The Son of God is telling Peter that the Father has revealed this to him by the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says to Peter, I tell you, you are Peter. Peter gets a lot, has three different names in the Bible. He's called Peter, he's called Simon, and then you get Simon Peter. Does that ever confuse you when they're using multiple names for the same guy? Yeah, it does. All right. But Peter, the word Peter itself means rock or a pebble. Then Jesus adds the words, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So rock and Peter mean the same thing. Now we know a rock is a solid foundation. Jesus even talks about that. The wise man builds his house, all right, upon the rock. The fool builds it upon the sand. All right, so you build something on a rock, and then it is sturdy. Christ is going to build his church on the confession of Peter. Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Satan can attack the church. He can hurl every demon he has at us, but he cannot overcome us. And sometimes we act like we're losing. Notice the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Where are the gates? Outside of hell. So who's attacking who? I get paid by the hour, folks. We're attacking them. Christ has already won the victory. We just got to mop it up. Satan still has powerful forces, but we've already won because of Christ. And sometimes we act like we've lost the war. Jesus continues, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is good old-fashioned Lutheran talk for preaching the law and the gospel. When people do not repent of their sins are bound to them. In other words, not forgiven. To be forgiven, one must repent. The gospel part of this is there is forgiveness of sins. We use the fancy term in the church. These are the keys of the office of the keys is what you would read it in Luther's Small Catechism. And I won't put any of my former confirmation students on the spot and have them recite it all. All right. But anyway, now, to explain this also, the office of the keys is given to the church, not just to Peter. There's other places in Scripture where Jesus says the same command as to all the disciples. This matters because it sounds like Reformation Sunday. I'm picking on the Catholics. They say that that power is only given to Peter himself. No, it's given to the church as a whole. Then Jesus tells them, don't tell anyone that I am the Christ. His time hadn't come yet. Part of the reason he doesn't want this well known or publicly profess that he is the Son of God is there's many false ideas out there at the time about who the Messiah was. He also wanted people to see for themselves who he was, to come to the conclusion that he could only be the Son of God, the Messiah. Now, the lesson here, after this point in Matthew, continue on to the end of Matthew, then the message is given to proclaim who Christ is, not to be quiet anymore, because the time has come to proclaim the message. Now, our world is getting darker. In the sense that Satan is attacking, I believe, more and more, I would say especially within the last year or so. So what do? We confess that Jesus is the Lord. We live our lives with boldness, not in fear, but in boldness. And we live as a shining light. When people look at the church, they should see something so special going on in there that they want to be part of it. Daniel 12:3 says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Daniel's referring to the church as a whole. Now, we got a whole lot to grumble and complain about. I will admit, at least in my opinion, the world's getting worse. I think people care less these days. But we're built on the foundation of Christ. Christ is the center of our faith. He doesn't move. Christ, our rock, encourages us to look boldly forward to the future, and look ahead with confidence, knowing that whatever happens, it happens for good according to God's plan. Isaiah 28:16 says, Christ our rock encourages us to look, So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. Sometimes we are dismayed. Sometimes we are discouraged physically, but spiritually we should never be dismayed or discouraged. Christ has won the victory. Now, last week we celebrated the Lord's Supper. I want to be careful using this term. We are remembering his death, all right, and the fact that he did give us his body and his blood in communion. Now, you want that great question, how can it be that you receive the body and bread, the blood and the wine? How does that work? Can anybody explain how that works? I don't know. There we go, another great I don't know. But Christ says that's what it is. That in communion we were receiving his body and his blood. Yes, it's for the forgiveness of sins. And it's also to strengthen our faith. He is our rock. Remember the question, who am I? The answer doesn't depend on polls, doesn't depend on opinion, doesn't even depend on personal preference. After the feeding of the 5,000, many left Jesus. He wasn't the bread king they wanted. Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, are you going to leave also? And here's Simon Peter, another great confession of faith. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So we get the question, who am I? By God's grace, we have the answer. With Peter, John, the other disciples, and all the other believers, we can confess that we know and believe, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. You are our rock, our solid foundation. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.